I'll start off first by introducing myself. I'm going to be your moderator and also a presenter today, so I get to kind of dominate the time here. My name is Keith Higginbotham. I'm the manager of the NEDS based system in Alabama. Again, we're going to be talking about this MBS and how we see it has transitioned from a government off-the-shelf solution to a more collaboratively developed solution. I'll have three other presenters with me. Tina Pippin, she is the Alabama MBS Surveillance Nurse Manager. Doug Hammaker is the MBS Coordinator in Texas. And then Leslie Ann Helmus is the Virginia MBS Coordinator. So I just want to start off by kind of going over what we're going to talk about and setting the stage. We'll kind of define what we mean by collaboration, talk about some of our partners in collaboration, how the MBS has matured from a GOTS product to a collaboratively developed solution, and then talk about some actual ongoing collaborative efforts that some of them we've actually accomplished recently, some are still in the process, and you can see those there. So I'd like to start off with, you know, what is collaboration? I found this definition and I liked it. Collaboration is defined as a process through which parties who see different aspects of a problem or issue can constructively explore their differences and search for solutions that go beyond their own limited vision of what is possible. I think that's a good explanation of collaboration. And again, we've seen, and again, this is from a state's perspective, we've seen the MBS and the development of the NEDS-based system transition to more of a collaborative process. So who are the partners in relation to the MBS as far as collaborating? And the four of us kind of talked about this ahead of time. And we see the bidirectional avenues for collaboration being states to federal. These are pretty obvious. States to state, so MBS states with other MBS states collaborating and sharing information. Obviously, state to local. The three states represented here have to have a good forum for collaborating with the actual local end users that use the system. And then, as we'll talk about, programmatic to technology. So the actual surveillance staff dealing with their own individual IT groups. So these are just some high points, kind of documenting the maturation or the maturing of the MBS. So you can kind of see the time frames for version 1 to 1.1.3. And again, this is from a state's perspective, particularly Alabama's right now. When the MBS was first deployed in Alabama, we saw it more as a data collection tool that was very CDC oriented. It didn't really contain a lot of work process features to help our end users do their work better. It was more of just a tool to collect the data that CDC wanted. In version 1.1.1, LDFs and CDFs came out, and I know some of you may not be MBS states or users, but that's locally defined fields and collaboratively defined fields. So that was a step in the right direction, in my opinion. To allow states to not only collect their own state-specific data, but also as a group of MBS states to come together and define some data that all states wanted to collect, and those would be collaboratively developed fields. NND messaging also came out during that time frame, the National Notifiable Disease Message, the Foodborne PAM. In 2005, October, the NEDS Users Group was formed. Which again really got the 16 MBS states hooked together, and it was basically a forum to facilitate discussion among those 16 states along with the CDC and then CSC, which is the MBS development team. Some of the topics of these NUG sessions include enhancement requests, kind of defining what exactly the states want. Issues that states have seen, maybe in an ELR feed. It was a great opportunity to bring those up. And then just kind of talking about the future, and we quickly found out that a lot of states were doing some cool things, but we weren't really sharing that information very well. So the NUG has really turned into a great collaboration tool for us MBS states to share some of the custom development work that we've done, because we all have the same core system. A lot of what we do custom can be shared among and across states. Also in 2006, Sitescape was launched for NUG, which essentially is just an electronic forum for sharing information about the MBS. There's a knowledge base there so that if I have an issue in Alabama, I can search to see if another state has experienced that same issue and hopefully resolve it myself without having to put in an actual help desk ticket. And then documentation and other materials related to the MBS are there as well for us to get. In version 1.1.5, which was September of 2006, CSC and CDC migrated from BEA WebLogic to the JBoss application server, which is obviously an open source app server. And in my opinion, that's the first release of the MBS that was almost entirely, if not entirely, focused on state-requested enhancements. So again, early on, it seemed like it was really just a tool for collecting data that CDC wanted to collect. With 1.1.5, we saw a lot more enhancements that really helped the states and the local users doing the investigations do their job more efficiently and collect the data that the states wanted to collect. So you can see some of the other enhancements there, some new data marts for reporting, some usability enhancements. You can see in a service pack, there was a rejected notifications queue, which again, helped the states manage cases that the locals would send up that maybe they had classified incorrectly as a confirmed case. We could reject that. The locals could learn from that rejection. That's kind of a harsh word, but we would reject it back. They would make the change and then submit it again to be approved and sent on to the CDC. I won't go through this entire list, but you can kind of see how it really progressed to basically what do the states need to be able to accomplish their job more efficiently. I will note in 1.1.6, there was integrated geocoding for all address informations within the MBS. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Alabama has utilized that, and I'll show a demonstration of our GIS application. 1.1.7 to 1.2, one of the main things there is that CDC heard from the MBS states that we all needed some way to trigger alerts based on lab reports that have entered the system. So CSC's team worked with several MBS states to define the requirements. The MBS states' capabilities to do alerting kind of ranged from no real ability, so maybe simple SMTP email would be enough to, we have a very, very robust system that Global Secure is our vendor in Alabama, the response manager system. So we had a communication engine that was already built that we wanted to utilize for alerting. So CDC took all these different aspects and needs and actually came up with a solution that met the needs of everybody from all ends of the spectrum. And I'll actually give a demonstration of that as well. I'm going to turn it over now to Ms. Tina Pippen, and she's going to talk about how the MBS has changed our business practices.
And I've collaborated enough with Keith to know he likes to talk, and he's already cut into my time, so he's in trouble. Just to let you know a little bit about who I am and how Alabama is organized, I work under the Bureau of Communicable Disease. These are the different divisions under communicable disease. I work in the Division of Epidemiology and am the nurse manager for surveillance. So, the surveillance team, as well as analysis and reporting team, which are really our EPIs, are the main users, I would say, of the NEDS system. Who's involved in NEDS? Well, if we look at who are the surveillance staff that really key the data into NEDS, We have, in the central office, we have two nurses, three epidemiologists, a public health research analyst, an administrative assistant. In the field, we have 11 public health areas with one public health physician, three masters public health, 18 nurses, which are usually two per area, and two DIS, or disease intervention specialists. With the MBS, and I'll start by saying that I was a little bit lucky in that a lot of the piloting and implementation I unfortunately missed out on. I got to kind of walk in, and that you had already implemented the last area. So I never knew NETS. I learned what it is, but I never had to deal with NETS, really. And Keith did all the training, and I get to kind of walk in and just say, okay, well, great, we've got a new system, and this is the way it is. And I didn't have to learn new things, besides learn NEDS. I didn't have to change my practice. So I was lucky in that, because NEDS just made sense to me. Why would we do it any other way? So it's a little bit different than what the field staff, who had always done it a different way, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Excuse me. So NEDS. This is the way I am told that it was done. We had paper files that a lab report, morbidity report, was received into the state office. We had a nurse manager who was my predecessor. She would look at the report, staple it to an investigation form, send it out to the field. The surveillance staff would complete the form, we think. I don't think there was a tracking mechanism to say, this report was sent, oh yes, it came back. So the report would come back up, the same nurse would review it. Did it meet case classification? If it did, it was given to the administrative assistant. She typed it into NETS, and weekly the reports went to CDC. So with the MBS, now we have electronic ELR, which is just wonderful, and we have still some paper files that come in, paper lab reports. Those are keyed in by the administrative assistant at the central office. The reports show up in the nurse's queue immediately. They start the investigation, complete the questions, create the notification. It comes up to the state office. We approve it. Our records in Alabama are only approved at the state level. So all the, whether or not a case is considered a case, is done by a central office employee, which I know is different in other states. So, and this, of course, is done daily. Well, this changed things, of course, tremendously for nurses who were, they had to learn NEDS. They had to learn to work within a system they were not familiar with. You know, they were more involved. They had to learn case definition, because if they, like Keith said, if they were not able to, if it's a probable instead of a confirmed, they get rejected. So it's good and it's bad. They don't necessarily like to get rejections, but they like to know, did I get it right? Before, you know, most of them never knew what happened to it. Was it a case? Was it not a case? None of that was communicated back to them. So I think with the MBS, it opens communication very much with the local and central office. And of course, the benefits are, you know, we have more timely investigations. We're able to see reports sooner. We're able to provide the interventions that are appropriate. They're able to see patient history. You know, before, maybe they were doing a hepatitis and they weren't aware that another area had just completed an investigation on that person last month. So we had two people that actually did the same investigation 2 weeks apart. So when you go into MBS now, you can see anything that was done on that patient. If they've had a salmonella, shigella, hepatitis, they're able to see any of those within the system across all areas. We have more timely reporting to CDC. We're able to do qualitative review and, of course, increased involvement with staff. And I'm going to kind of go fast through these, or we won't be able to finish some of the demo we'd like to do today. Quickly, I'm going to talk about some collaboration that we did, different areas within the central office where are between the two states, or different states. The NED Steering Committee, and I guess probably every state has something similar to this. 5 minutes, really? Okay. And this was something that we put together because we realized very rapidly that there were so many different issues that we weren't ready for, whether it was just staff in the field not understanding any, some things, or just, and quickly, this is an actual agenda that we had, because the issues became so, we had a lot of issues. So we tried to be very focused. We met weekly sometimes to try to identify things that we needed to get accomplished, or maybe we need to bring State EPI in, more involvement from different people on Keith's team. And so this tells you some of the things we talked about, whether it was case definitions, the NETS data for 2006, how to do a system data request, how we would prioritize those kind of things. So we would bring in IT and ourselves and different people from whether it was immunization or EPIs to try to get through and make sure that NEDS was working as functionally as possible. NEDS training. At first, Keith and Richard Holmes went out and actually trained all the staff in the field on the NEDS. What we have done now is we've organized that, and we have quarterly trainings, a two-day training in the central office, and we bring all the staff in so we can take them away from the distractions, make sure that we provide an organized training for them, do some evaluation. And Keith has also developed, based on comments from the staff, there's videos on our website that they can watch, whether it's to add a lab report, delete an investigation, adding providers and things such as that. So this is ways that Keith is, or myself, have identified training needs, and he's developed what we need to move it ahead. Oh, there's one. Another collaboration is one we had with one of our largest volume of cases per county, Jefferson County. They wanted to add in another review process where once the investigator in that area completed the investigation, they would actually send it to another supervisor. So before it was sent to the state level, they would actually approve it. So collaborating with them, because they had so many large volume of cases, it added something else so that they could make sure that they didn't send anything to the state level that didn't need to be reviewed. And I know that Leslie Ann's going to talk about reports, so I'll just briefly tell you that some of the things that the field staff have used the reports for, to try to look, labs marked as reviewed, maybe they accidentally marked a salmonella as reviewed and would go back and begin an investigation, look for duplicates, closed cases without notification, or open cases without notification. So these are some of the reports that they use. And then some of the reports that we recently looked at for our staff at the central office to try to really see, is our data clean? How well are the nurses or the staff in the field completing the investigation? So we're looking at case investigations with rejected notifications. Are certain nurses always missing the same case definition? Do they leave date of birth off every time? So it can identify training needs as well. So these kind of reports that we can build, where before you just received a report up, you looked at it, you sent it to CDC, we can actually look at the processes in the field of how the staff are working and completing the investigation and make sure that what we're doing and sending to the CDC is really clean data, because it's very important to us to do that. And I'm going to turn it back over to Keith so he can finish up.
Thank you. All right. One of the most recent collaborative efforts that I mentioned earlier with CDC and CSC was to develop MBS alerting. You can read kind of the purpose here. Obviously, it's to decrease the time that our staff decrease the time appropriate public health staff receive notification of immediately reportable diseases so that we can provide intervention sooner. CDC's scope of work, they actually did the heavy lifting. They had to build the ability within the MBS to monitor an incoming lab report, derive what condition that lab report represents, and then write data about that lab report to a table. Our scope of work, because we wanted to integrate it with our own health alert network, was to develop an interface to monitor that table, essentially pick up the important information about that that lab report, and then transmit it to our HAN, letting our health alert network know which staff need to receive that specific alert. Some future enhancements, CDC will eventually build in the ability to do alerting based on morbidity reports. And then something that Alabama is really interested in trying to accomplish is aberration-based alerting. So looking at our baseline for specific conditions, and then when we hit a peak on a specific condition, generate an alert automatically. I'm going to kind of skip through this real quick. This is really here just in case my actual demo fails, but essentially what this is you have ELR or manually entered lab reports coming into the MBS. NEDS actually identifies the event. This little moving thing represents our interface that's polling that database to see if any new alerts are there. And then once it finds an alert, it transmits condition, date received, jurisdiction, the identifier, and any specific instructions about that to our HAN. And again, our HAN is the Global Secure Response Manager. They have a well-documented alerting web service API that we just consume. And it basically sends alerts to predefined role groups. So our local people need to receive these alerts if the lab report is for a patient that resides in their county. State level people, such as the state EPI, might want to receive every single alert. It can go out via email. It can also do a text-to-speech conversion and dial these people and basically read the alert to them over the phone. So let's try this out here. All right, that's the wrong thing. Okay, so this is our NEDS-based system homepage. I'm logging into NEDS, and I'm going to, instead of simulating an ELR, I'm going to actually do a manual lab report. So I'm going to search for a patient, and we'll use my son as an example. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a lab report for Bacillus anthracis. So let me go into his patient's chart. And again, this works on manually entered lab reports like I'm doing now, or an electronic lab report, which we receive from LabCorp, Mayo, and MedTox, and our own state lab currently. So you can see I've already put quite a few lab results in there for him, but I'm going to add a new one. And I'm going to kind of skip through some of the information. I'm not going to fill it out completely just for the sake of time. So I have to say who actually did the test. This is going to be a general communicable disease. And let me skip down to what test was actually performed. So they did an aerobic bacteria identification. And they identified Bacillus anthracis. Now again, behind the scenes, what CDC did is they built the logic in, once I save this, they built the logic in to know that that translates to a positive anthrax result. So I'm going to save that. I'm going to go to our server. And I'm going to kick off our process that we wrote to monitor the table that the MBS just populated. Now, obviously, once this is in production, we'll have this scheduled to run every 5 minutes or so. So this is the app. It's just a fairly simple VB.NET console app that, again, is monitoring that table that the MBS has populated. And it's pulling information out of that table. And based on the disease, it knows, do I need to notify the general epi staff or do I need to notify the immunization staff? Based on disease and the county of where the patient resides, it knows, do I notify the surveillance nurse in County X that is responsible for general communicable disease, or do I need to notify the surveillance nurse in a particular county for immunizations? Now, our system is configured. I know you can't see this. I've already got my alert email because my profile says I also want to receive these alerts via email. So I can see that email now. There's a delay in the system. There's a 1 minute delay after emails go out. Because obviously if this is a large scale alert, we'd prefer that most staff confirm receipt of these alerts via email so that we have to make less phone calls. So my phone should ring, hopefully, in a few minutes. I did this demonstration last night and it worked, so.
So do you send patient identifiable information?
We do not. We do not. I'll actually, let me answer this. Hello?
You have a very important message from the Alabama Department of Public Health. Please make sure to listen to the entire message and wait for the prompt at the end of the call to confirm receipt of this message by phone. If you are entering this alert via phone, please press any numeric key to continue.
So I'm pressing a key.
Please enter your 4-digit security PIN.
So there's a 4-digit PIN code, so if this is calling my home, my wife doesn't know that.
From the MBS. This is a test of the MBS alert interface. The positive lab result for anthrax was received on August 25th, 2008, 256 and 22nd p.m. for Montgomery County. This event's local ID in the MBS is OPS10837052L01. Log into the MBS for more information or to review this alert message. Log into the alert system.
To confirm receipt of this alert message, please press 1. To replay this message, please press 2.
So I could replay this message. I'm going to go ahead and confirm it.
Goodbye.
So it's saying thank you and goodbye. So we get secure alerting. We get confirmation that they received the alert. Very good question. Do we send patient identifiable information out over the alert system? No, we don't. We do send them the event's local ID. And I know for those of you that have never heard our computer-generated voice, it is a little bit tough to understand. Once you get used to it, it actually is not that difficult to understand. I'll read you the text of what it said just so you can kind of get an idea. Thank you. Yeah, she's getting me back. It says, this is a test of the MBS alert interface. We hard-coded that. A positive lab result for anthrax was received on 8/25/2008, 2:56 p.m. We're Central Time. For Montgomery County, that is where I reside, so it derived the location of my son based on his home address. The event's local ID in the MBS is, it said OBS and read a number, AL01. Log into the MBS for more information or to review this alert message, log into the alert system. So our nurses cover multiple counties when they get to the county that they're traveling to. If they get this receipt, receive this alert in transit, they can either log into the NEDS-based system, go to their queue, and that queue typically has from 5 to 10 lab results there. Be pretty easy to find an anthrax result. If they happen to get that long ID, they could do a search on it. Or if they log into their email, they'll have that where they can just copy and paste it into the MBS and do a search based on that ID. I had a question, but if you don't mind, let's hold questions to the end. I've got one other thing that I wanted to show. We have recently, and I mean just recently, we're still actually writing code for this as of last week. Let me get off this server. Developed a GIS application that sits on top of our MBS system. So I am logged into a development environment. Just real briefly, let me just show how this works. Now I do have real data in this development environment, so I'm not going to click on any points. So I'm doing a search where the investigation start date is from January 1st of 2008 for Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I'm going to submit this search. There's 129 records in the database. This is real data from Alabama. So again, I'm not going to click on any of these points because I don't want to show any patient identifiable information. But that just kind of gives you an idea of what we can do. I'm going to switch over into my test environment so I can show you a little bit more functionality by clicking on dots and zooming in, etc. And I'm running out of time, so bear with me real quick. Okay, so now I'm in my test. This is all fake data. I'm doing a similar search for Salmonella. We are basically tying into Google Maps API to bring in the map layer. The dots are basically geocoded within the MBS, so we're on client side, we're just putting these dots on top of the Google Maps layer. I can change to a satellite imagery, and let me zoom in here to Montgomery. And I feel like I'm not doing my developer justice because there's a lot of other functionality here that I'm not going to get to show you, but so if I hover over this, I can see that's 2413 Leonidas Drive, Montgomery, Alabama. That's my home address. If I click on the dot, once this page refreshes, I get metadata about this actual dot. It's the patient's name is Joel Higginbotham, Joel Gant, my son. The address that was geocoded, his date of birth, the investigation ID, which is a local ID that the MBS generates. So if I'm a state epi, I can search in the MBS and actually pull up this case based on that ID. It tells me what condition this represents, the investigation start date, and the illness onset date. If I drill in, just to show you how low we can go. Again, GeoStan geocoded this address. I believe that's as far as we can go in. It does. Sorry, can you hear me? Sorry. It does put the dot on the correct side of the street. However, this is actually my house here. So it's not exactly on my driveway, but it's probably within about, 100 feet, 150 feet. We have more filters that we could filter by. Again, I think I'm running out of time. I'm out of time. Okay. So if you'd like to see this in a little bit more detail, come see me afterwards.